Welcome to the Bite Size Book Club podcast, She Well Read. We're your hosts, Alana
and Samra, and we're two Black girls in our mid-20s who are on a journey to get back into reading.
Our goal is to encourage women to not only read any and everything, but to also read at your own pace. Each episode, we take a bite-sized approach to reading by breaking down one chapter of a book and diving into a multitude of topics.
We see reading as a source of empowerment and want to bring people together through shared experiences and provide a platform that promotes reading as a source of empowerment.
Thanks for being here, and let's get on to the show. Hey, well-read baddies. Welcome to another episode of She Well Read. I'm Alana.
And I'm Samra.
And today, we are doing a little bit of a redo episode-ish, kind of. Welcome back to one of our favorite guests. Damona Hoffman is with us today. Hello, Damona.
Hey, great to see you again.
Yes.
This is an update. It's not even
update,
a redo.
Yes.
It's just like it's a revitalization.
Better words. I couldn't think of the words because I was like, a redo is not. You were here.
Fresh.
You read my brain. Yes. For those of you who don't know who Damona is, are you living under a rock? But she's here with us today to discuss her new book, F the Fairy Tale, Rewrite the Dating Myths and Live Your Own Love Story. Which is crazy because when she came on our show originally, like 2 years ago, we talked about like her beginning stages of this book. So it's kind of just like a full circle moment here right now. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exciting stuff. Well, Damona, for those who are living under a rock, can you please reintroduce yourself to our audience?
Yes, I'm Damona. I do not live under a rock. I live in Los Angeles. I am a dating and relationship coach. And I have been doing this for over 17 years now. I started out as a dating profile writer and then started to see a lot of patterns that were happening with my clients and felt the need to support them all the way from, I say my focus is pre-date to pre-marriage, if that's what you want. And you may have seen my work on the Drew Barrymore Show, where I'm the official love expert, or on Access Daily with Mario and Kit, where I also do a Damona's Dating Dictionary segment, recurring segment. And I've written for the Washington Post, the LA Times, and now this brand new spanking book, F the Fairy Tale, Rewrite the Dating Myths and Live Your Own Love Story, which just came out in January. So thank you for having me back.
Yes, absolutely. We already said, we were like, when the book is out, you're coming back.
I do remember that. You sure did say that. We held each other to task.
Yes. I remember when Jess told me you'd be in Orlando. I was like, great. I can remind her again that she needs to come back on our show.
Yeah. No, you know, I would have come here anyways, but it was really a treat to see you both in person and celebrate our big wins at the Sonic Bloom Awards.
Yes.
I got the Mover and Shaker Award, which I don't even know what that means. I forgot I was nominated for it, but I'm super honored and grateful to have received it. It's my second award ever.
Yeah, because you won Black Pod, right? Too?
I won Podcast Best Podcast of the Year in 2022, and absolutely nothing last year. So, but you know what?
It's okay.
We got to spread the love. And you got, which award did you get for Sonic Bloom?
We got the Socialite Award.
That's right.
Yep, mm-hmm. We sure did. Thank you to everybody who follows us on the Clock app. We feel like that's where it probably came from, more than likely.
Hey, it's so well-deserved.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, both ways. We're here. We're all, Black Girl Magic is just shining its light right now.
Magicking all over.
Okay, but Damona, let's get into this. So the book title, because we kind of talked about this a little off camera, it changed and shifted, but I feel like it's just so bold and exciting where it's like, F the fairy tale. I'm like, I'm already here. I already want to know more. So can you share a moment or a story that inspired you to say F the fairy tale and write this book?
Well, I feel like I need to translate the title for folks, because a lot of times when people hear F the fairy tale, they think that I'm saying F love, F romance, can't have it, just just go off on a mountain, be a spinster or whatever, and it's cool. And what I'm saying is you can have that life if you want that. Sorry, I used the S word. It was just for dramatic effect. But spinster. But what I'm really saying is the subtitle, Rewrite the Dating Myths and Live Your Own Love Story. It's forget the fairy tale meaning other people's versions of what love should look like. All these stories, and I know she well read, so she's read a lot of stories. Mm-hmm. And these stories, they imprint on us, whether they're stories from our family of origin, from society, from social media, from actual rom-coms and fairy tales, but they add up to a story that maybe at one point was true, but is not necessarily true any longer. And I just really wanted to empower people to be able to see the forest for the trees, to be able to identify what these myths are and be like, oh, I have fallen into that trap. I have believed that myth, but I actually am now empowered to be able to write my own love story.
I think that's really something we all need to hear. I think it needs to be more relevant than it is. And it's so easy, you know, when a new wave of dating comes along. Like right now, I feel like we're in the, you know, where the bag at era, very much like, if you're not offering me something, if this is not a business relationship, then what are we doing? Like, what, you know what I mean? Are you broke or, you know, show me the proof of funds when it comes to like Risa Pisa and like that whole energy. It's very much like we're all kind of struggling out here. And so it's easy to be vulnerable to these different myths. Would you say that there is a most common myth that you've noticed when you've talked to people through podcasting or through dating, coaching, or, you know, anything like that, that you're like, damn, like this just keeps coming up and I just want to smash it. And, you know, it's not real.
There were so many myths. So originally the title was The Modern Love Myth. And then I was like, and here are the 52 myths. And my editor was like, can we like narrow it down? And also, it's not one myth.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about that too, because when I was reading the book, you list out four myths. And then you did an interview a couple episodes ago where you kind of talked about that, how you had like all of these myths and your editor was like, no, narrow this down. Yeah.
There are more myths than are reflected in the book. But I was like, for readability's sake, let me identify the big four. And I would say we can go through all of the four, but I would say, Samra, to answer your question, the one that I think is the biggest lie is the soulmate myth. Over 70% of Americans believe in soulmates. And even though that's the myth that I think governs the last part of dating, I wrote the book chronologically to really walk people through the same way. If a client came to me and was like, okay, I'm going to do your dating coaching program. How do I fix my dating life? We have to start at the beginning. We start with mindset, then we move into the search, then we move into the date, then we move into the future. So the soulmate myth governs the future, but we're also future focused that I think it sort of overshadows all of the myths, because that really, the soulmate is in some ways synonymous with the fairy tale and thinking that there's like one perfect person out there and they're just going to ride up on their white horse and save me from this dumpster fire of whatever I'm dealing with, and that it's just going to feel magical from the beginning and I'm going to automatically know the minute our eyes lock. But you know that chemistry is a myth too. Chemistry is a lie.
It's all just like science. If you think about it, it's like chemistry. It's a science experiment. If you think about pheromones and all of this, like women's cycles, like all the things that happen, like it's very random. And so I really appreciate that you start with your mindset, because I think that is the key to everything. So I'd love to talk more about like that mindset. What do you feel like is blocking us? And I know social media, I think, probably plays into it.
Oh, yeah.
But what do you feel like is the right, or is there a right or a wrong mindset, do you feel like?
Oh, there's definitely a wrong mindset, for sure. For sure. I'm not a very black and white dating coach. Like, I won't be like, this is the rule. The rules is also a myth. But I will shine a light on those dark places that a lot of times people have been unable or unwilling to go, and be like, let's look at this. Let's pull this out. So
you sound like my therapist.
Well, I mean, we are two sides of the same coin. A lot of times people ask me, like, so do you have a background in therapy? No, I am specifically, my whole career in the dating industry, I've been a dating coach. This is specifically what I have been trained to do, but I work very well with therapists and with clients who have been through therapy or who are going through therapy, because they're willing to do that examination that I think ultimately is what leads you to finding your person or people, whatever. You know, that's the thing. You write your own love story. But I think the problem is our attachment to stories. So whether it's from social media, or whether it's from our social circle, or whether it's from parents or whatever it is, we're in a rush to complete the story. We're in a rush to make it all fit. And we get in our heads about a lot of that. And then, as I outline in the book, that translates into a lot of behaviors, a lot of actions that don't ultimately align with what we want in our goals. So what I've done in F the Fairy Tale, in addition to identifying the four myths, I reveal the four pillars of long-term compatibility, which I've talked about. I introduced them on this TV show that I hosted called A Question of Love like 7 years ago. They're the factors that I have consistently seen be the building blocks of the relationships that lasted. It was very interesting how the four myths really dovetailed nicely with the four pillars and offered an antidote to that broken belief system that people were carrying. So with the mindset, that I identified as the list myth. It presents as the list myth. Okay, I want him to be 6'3" or taller. I want him to make this much money. Like everything you were saying, Sarah, like, where the bag at? Like,
I honestly might label this episode "Where the Bag At in Dating." Because that was hilarious.
I mean, it's not wrong. Like, we're dating based on the bag. We are checking a list, checking boxes, and I'm asking folks to re-examine what is on that list. I'm not saying don't have any kind of criteria that you're dating based on. I'm just saying, wait. Let's look at that criteria. Like, is it really about what are you falling in love with? Is it really about how much money this person makes? Or is it really about how you want to feel in the relationship? And how, if you go based on how you want to feel, how would that change what goes on the list? So I replaced the list myth with the pillar of shared goals. Shared goals, like, are we traveling the same path in life? Like, let's just start there. Because a lot of times we skip ahead. We get caught up in the chemistry myth and we're like, oh, but I felt something. I mean, I know he doesn't want kids and I do. But, you know, I really felt something. And I know he ain't got a job. But, you know, like, even like the Risa Tessa. I don't know.
We don't know. We don't know.
she fell in love with a story, right?
And boy, did he have stories.
And we don't even know. We don't know where the bag is.
Fairy tale is real. That is such a great title. Like, I'm gonna echo what Alana said. But yeah, I'm glad you changed. Not to shit on the last title. Look, it wasn't a bad title, but this is intriguing. Like, I don't know. Especially as girls, we just grow up with these dang princesses, and it's just, It makes us really jaded, I think.
Yeah, that was also something I wanted to capture with this title, because I was just feeling a lot of frustration and burnout and dating anxiety. And I was like, I got to meet folks where they're at. A lot of people listen to Dates and Mates and come to me for coaching at the, like, F this whole thing, F the fairy tale, F all of it. It's not playing out for me the way that Julia Roberts told me it would. I'm always on Drew's case, like Drew Barrymore's case, because I'm like, you made some great movies, but you did us dirty.
That is like the funniest, like, at you that I've heard that you can do with a celebrity. Like, I'm on your own show, and I'm telling you right now how you screwed all of us over with this.
Right. But, you know, we also love to be entertained, and we love to be entertained in dating as well. Like, that's why dating apps, we're in this real sticky place with dating apps right now. And I'm sure you heard about the lawsuit. Okay. So people Yes. are suing dating apps Mm-hmm. for being too addictive. Mm-hmm. It's like, well,
are they suing all of social media too, or just dating apps?
My point exactly. There are some people suing social media too. But yeah. It's kind of like, I don't think we get to have it both ways. Like, I don't think we get to say, oh, I want to have all the likes and I want to have all the views and I want to be adored and I want to have all the matches and be like, but it's too much. It's too addictive. And I think that's the problem that we're all facing right now in dating, is that the rules have changed. The landscape has changed. Technology has changed. Everything has changed except for us. Our wiring is the same, because biology, we don't evolve that quickly. So we have not evolved to be able to tolerate the amount of discomfort, anxiety, constant notifications, constant disappointments, ghosting, disposability. I mean, I could literally keep going. All the reasons that people say F the fairy tale to me. Our brains haven't evolved to process that. So let's give ourselves a little bit of grace in just understanding that. Like, oh, my brain is not wired for constant notifications. How can I quiet the parts that are not serving me and amplify the parts that actually matter? That's what I'm doing with F the Fairy Tale.
Which is so tea, because as you were talking, I was like, there was something you said, and I was like, oh yeah, we do it for the plot, like, like all the time. Like, you know, this might not work how I think it's gonna work, but I'm gonna do it for the plot and see what happens. And while hee hee and ha ha and funny as that can be, it's like, it still has those repercussions of whatever you did it for the plot for in the end too, that I think we like casually forget about. And
the plot is your life,
right? Like, your emotional mental health, well-being, ha ha. It's like, that's not funny, ha ha, that's funny, protect it. Like, right? To me,
right. I hadn't even thought of it really like that, like how much of this is not even just accepting, but how much of this we're actually choosing.
Yeah. No, it does come down. And I had to, like, at me to me at one point, because I don't think I've said it on the show just yet, since we've been back producing episodes, but I was going through a breakup right now for the past couple months. That was pretty traumatic. Like, if I told you the last 3 months of my 2023, you'd be like, you're lying. What Lifetime movie name is this?
Hey, maybe you can use the story.
I mean, at this point, I asked my therapist, I was like, who do you want to play you in my Lifetime movie? And she said herself, she would play herself, or she would want Mary J. Blige. But anywho.
Who wouldn't, right?
Right, exactly. But like, as I was evaluating, you know, after all the tears of like being in that relationship, I was like, there were so many moments where there were sirens blaring in my head that I decided to just, you know, stick, not necessarily do it for the plot, but stick it out for the sake of like, I want to save this. I want this to happen. I want this to happen, instead of accepting what was actually happening in that moment.
I have been there.
I was going to say the same exact thing.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious why, like, now that you have more space and perspective, if you can get underneath like what it was that was driving it,
mm-hmm.
not to turn this into a therapy session, but I really am curious, because I think it does all relate to the story and a lot of what I wrote about in F the Fairy Tale.
Yeah, I think it was a mix of both. A few things. One, I think it had to do with, you know, my trauma was coming out from childhood. Mm-hmm. And I have been conditioned in a way to like fix it. Like, I've always been like a fixer, like okay, this part of the puzzle is messed up. How can I fix it? Like, that's always like been my personality. And I've had to fine tune that and change it, because it's like, sometimes that's good. But sometimes, like, some situations don't need that and just need to let it play out and be what it is. And that's something I found in this, where it was like also trauma, where it was like, oh my gosh, like I could kind of, how you were saying, like the story, like, oh my gosh, I could see how this could play out. And like, you're showing me all of these things and like, you're checking all of these boxes and we're having all these great conversations in the beginning. And it was like so much good, like overload in the beginning, that I would felt almost blindsided in the end when it all started to go downhill. And it was like all the tools and everything that I had like went out the door. And, you know, I've talked to my therapist about it, because I love to tell my therapist, I'm like, I come to you and I listen to Damona's show. And, you know, that is my dating life. That is how I found out about all my dating things. And honor. She was like, and she was saying, obviously I think a lot of it is your trauma kind of poking its head out. And, you know, but the fact that you're able to come back and say now, like, oh, like, that's why this was happening, I think will help you in the future. Like, when those sirens do go off, listen to it, because now you see how it feels when you do ignore those sirens in this arena and space of dating. And it was like, I was always waiting for this certain response, because I was like, okay, this situation can go one of two ways. He's either going to say this or he's going to say this. But I really hope he says this, because then if he says this, then all of these great things can happen. And he would always say the opposite. And so it was just, you know, and a lot of emotional things too was tied with it. So it's been a lot of unlearning in this space of dating and being in a relationship and all of those things that I've had to call myself out on.
Well, kudos to you for being willing to do that discovery. And I was just talking with somebody today about how I don't believe this idea of relationships are work. I believe that relationships are a mirror. I say this in F the Fairy Tale, and they illuminate all of those parts within yourself. And the question is not, it's not, are you willing to work for it? Are you going to make this relationship work? The question is like, how deep are you going to go in here? Mm-hmm. How deep does that well go? How much of that are you willing to uncover and explore? Because that's where all of the discovery is. That's where all the juicy stuff in relationships are. And we come in relationships with different levels of capacity and different abilities and at different times in our life, when sometimes we're not able. I'm like, don't look in that closet. I'm not trying to look in there. But what we do is it comes back to the storytelling. And what you were saying just really confirms this a lot. Like, you had a story in your head, you're projecting of, this is the way the end, I see how the beginning went. And so therefore the end is going to end like this. And mm-hmm. then there's this dissonance that comes up when you're like, wait, he didn't say the right line.
That wasn't part of the script.
Script, you're flipping back like, what? I didn't know. I didn't write that. And right? And then we try to rewrite the story to make it fit the narrative. And then there's also just this element of time. I hear this a lot on Dates and Mates. Everybody's like the sunk cost of, well, I already put in 6 months. So mm-hmm. I might as well just ruin the rest of my life. You know, it's like, no, you always get a choice. You always get a chance. Let me say it in this way, actually. If you have the privilege of choice, because there are people, probably people listening to this podcast right now, who do not have choice. Mm-hmm. If you have choice, remember you can always choose a different path. And we just have to take responsibility for our co-creation of our relationships and experiences. Because like, we are the common denominator in all of those stories. We're the protagonist, we're the antagonist. We're all the things.
We all have our roles that we play in those things. But kind of jumping back to the science part of it, I remember when I was reading the book and I was listening to your episode. Oh gosh, it was 2 episodes ago or 3 maybe. It was a doctor on your show. She's been doing dating for like a really long time. I'm blanking so hard on her.
Oh,
name
Dr.
Right
Helen
now.
Fisher.
Yes.
Anthropologist. Love that episode. Yes. Oh, good. Me too. She's one of my idols, so it was a treat to have her.
Yes, but you guys talked about like how dating and love can literally make you feel crazy. Sure. And also how, like, you know, kind of when you're coming out of being in love or having a loving relationship or whatever, you're like, oh my gosh, wait, but I want that feeling back. Like, oh my gosh, who's next? Like, where's the next like fix of love that I can get? Essentially.
We're love junkies. We are love junkies. We are tweaking. We're like, I gotta get my next hit. I gotta get it. because Dr. Helen Fisher has studied this. Like, I will give her full credit. I do quote her in the book as well, because she has done so much of this research and really seeing what your physical brain chemistry looks like when you're in love and how it changes. Depending on the stage of love that you're in. And you literally go into an altered state when you are falling in love. And your brain also gets hijacked. And there's like so many neurotransmitters and neurochemicals that are involved in that process. But it is chemistry.
Yeah.
As you're saying earlier, it is chemistry. It's science. And we think we can outsmart our own bodies, but again, the anthropology is a lot older than the technology and the science that we are knowing about today.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to magic and fairy tales, it feels like, to me as a non-science person, I'm like, this is magic. And that's when you get crazy. And you start to lose it and you get delusional because you're like, if this is magic, then magically fixing things it can easily happen because I'm experiencing a magical moment in my life as the main character. Mm. And of course the plot isn't going to thicken. Like, this is just a fairy tale. Like, it really, you really did that with the title. I have to say
she's like, I have to keep coming back to that.
I love that you're like, science is magic, because it is kind of magic. And I love the pursuit of magic in our lives. Like, that is honestly, I've been with my husband 20 years. I am always creating magic. But then again, I'm a magician. So, like, you can't just expect it to appear. You have to be in that co-creation. You have to be making the magic. And it is still magical. And it is still wonderful. And there are moments there, like, I think even just, like, last night or the night before, I just looked over at him and I'm like, I can't believe I know you. Like, I can't, how did this even happen? I know. Don't make me get misty talking about my husband and my book.
I love hearing people who have been like in relationships for even like at this point, I'm going to say 6+ years. Because to me, that's a lifetime. I feel like in this day and age, it is a lifetime to be. So especially, you know, 20+. I mean, that's just like, to me, I'm like, that's unheard of. But to hear people say things like, it is still magical, is so refreshing, because I feel like there's this wave right now. Y'all know I always have my finger on the pulse. I'm always, I'm telling y'all about all the wave, the third wave, this, but the wave I feel like I've been hearing now is like, you don't believe, like, it's not biologically possible for one man and, or like one person and another person to be together for their whole lives. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, and I feel like it's a lot of people my age, like young 20 millennial,
Zillennial.
Gen Z.
We are Zillennial.
Zillennial. Sorry. Sorry.
No, she loves to say that. She's like, I'm a Gen Z. And I'm like, Samra, we're on the cusp. We are still millennials, kind of. It's okay.
The way I shit on millennials, no, I can't be a part of it. I'm sorry. I've said too much. But as a, I guess, I just, like, it's so disheartening to me. And I start to, like, believe the hype. I'm like, oh, my God, like, maybe it's not possible. Like, I don't know where we'll be in 20 years. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe we'll grow apart. Who knows? Speaking about, like, whoever your person is. And that's another person and soulmate. I feel like they're kind of toxic words to be like my person. Anyway, but to hear people say things like, I'm still in love with my husband of 20 years, it's really nice to hear that, because – once, I don't know, like, boomers are the last generation, I feel like, of real, like, not real love. I'm not going to say that at all. But, like, two people sticking it out for 50 years type of vibe. Like, yeah, I don't know.
This is the thing. Like, it doesn't have to be sticking it out. I'm much more in your camp than I am in the sticking it out camp. Because I don't know the future. I said I was a magician. I didn't say I was a, I don't know what's going to happen. All we have is today. All I know is I love my husband in this moment. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but I know that if I am present right here and I'm creating the magic right here, I have today, and then tomorrow I'll have tomorrow, and then the next day. So I didn't get to 20 years being like, I'm imagining what 20 years from now is going to look like. I literally could not have pictured this if I tried. It was not, it wasn't even in my consciousness. We just choose. And that's actually what I talk about with the soulmate myth, is that soulmates aren't born. They're made. You choose your soulmate every day. And then you got to wake up the next day and keep choosing. It is a choice. It is not a, you know, a magic spell. It's a choice. And that's what I think is actually really beautiful about Gen Z, Zennials in dating, is that you guys get that. Like, you get the personal responsibility piece. And I feel like sometimes when I am working with, and I work with people of all ages, sometimes when I'm working with, you know, Gen Xers or baby boomers or even older, I don't know what's like older than baby boomers, but I work with people all the way up to their 80s. Sometimes there is this rigidity to sticking to the story that has been told. Because, I mean, frankly, their stories have been told a lot longer. It's a lot harder to unravel it.
Yeah.
But it can change literally in an instant. I tell a lot of these stories enough, the fairy tale of people that came to me like, it's just not going to happen for me. Like, I've been single for 10 years. It's just like, no, I'm divorced. I got kids. I'm broke. I am, like, whatever the story is that you tell yourself as to why I am undateable. And I've seen multiple times that people come to me in that state, and 3 or 6 months down the line, it just happened with somebody in my program this fall. Like, literally, they were like, in December, they were like, I don't think this is working. I don't think. And then she's writing in about like, well, I've been now dating this guy for 6 weeks. And what do I get him for our first Valentine's Day? And I'm like,
wow,
I've just seen it happen. And I've seen it turn around so quickly when you align all of the other things, when you let go of the myths and you take responsibility for writing that story yourself.
Yeah. And kind of to what Samer was saying also, I feel like when people are like, oh, there's no way you can stay with someone for this long and da 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 and be monogamous, I feel like it's just people trying to cop out and say cheating's okay. Like, I think that's what that boils down to. Like, I have, and kind of like Samer was like, in the waves of things, I have seen this wave, I feel like, of people being like, yeah, you're probably going to get cheated on, but like, that's okay. And y'all can make it work. And like the cheating is okay. When it's like, no, that's still not cool. Like, don't make that a normal thing to be okay. Yeah. Like, why would anyone want to just willingly get cheated on? Like, that to me is weird.
Why do I feel like you're talking about Love is Blind right now?
Oh my gosh, no. So I have not watched the new season. I've only watched like season two, but I've seen all the discourse about all of that. But okay, see, yeah. Like even the dating shows. Yeah, like, I mean, social, like, again, back to Samer's point, social media, you watch this stuff happen and then it becomes normalized in like society and in your brain when it's like, no, we need that person who's like, knock, knock, this is not normal. Like, this is not okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know me as a dating coach. Like, I'm all about helping my clients get the thing that they want. Mm-hmm. And we've also been talking a lot about non-monogamy, especially for Gen Z singles. I covered that on Dates and Mates. There was an Ashley Madison study that said 59% of Gen Z singles were open to non-monogamy. But then when I look at the actual numbers, about 1 in 9 people have been non-monogamous. I mean, of course, there's probably the people that ain't telling. But right. That's interesting to me when it's like our ambition, when it's like Instagram versus reality.
Right, where it's like, okay.
Propaganda, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the people are like, oh, it doesn't work. That's usually the next sentence is, that's why I'm non-monogamous. You know, like, I want to have, or some people have been trying to be, I guess, more men. Whatever it is when you're like, you're the only man, but then you have multiple spouses type of thing.
Yeah.
So it feels very much like, you know, and very much do what is best for you. Like, but I do think that sometimes women are coerced into these non-monogamous relationships because of the propaganda that we're being fed of, like, all men cheat and they can't. Like, if you're not fucking him, then of course he's going to go out and get something. Like, what do you mean? That's 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2 here. But that's how some women literally believe in their core, because, like, maybe that's what they've seen, like, their whole lives. And it's sad to me because, you know, I guess I was privileged enough to be in a home where, at least to my knowledge, nobody was cheating on anybody. Now, was it a happy marriage? I don't. No, it's not the marriage I would like to be in. But, you know, I guess seeing that made me think, like, oh, it's possible for a man not to cheat. But if you've never seen that, like, you have to see that to believe that. Or maybe you don't. But not everybody has that level of faith, you know.
I've read statistics even that even that, Samara, is a myth. I've read statistics that among, okay, so I just pulled this up. Among married adults ages 18 to 29, this is the group we're talking about, women are slightly more likely than men to be guilty of infidelity. Ooh. So even this idea that, like, men are doing all the cheating, and I've seen other stats that it's like, depending on what age group you're looking at, it could be anywhere between 10 and 20% of people who admit to it. But it's the gap is not huge between men and women either. So I think there are just there are, I'm not saying like it's okay to cheat, but I'm saying that if you are, it's one thing to be in pursuit of a monogamous relationship. It's another thing to have agreements with your partner. But if you start out from the place of like, speaking of social, of reality TV, if you start out from the place of, I haven't even built a rapport with this person and I'm either cheating or I'm saying that I am afraid I'm going to cheat, Clay, on Love is Blind, it seeds distrust from the beginning. And what is the fourth pillar of long-term compatibility? This is a pop quiz on F the Fairy Tale. It's trust.
I was about to say, I was going through my, I was like, crap, wait, I know this.
Literally. I was like, over here like, what is it, Demona?
What is it? You have to buy the like, book so you can know. I gave you the answer key. I gave you the answer key. But I also, you know, I don't want to like villainize anybody. Weirdly, I've also been doing a lot of like triad TV segments. I don't know how I became like the daytime TV triad expert.
Yeah.
But I've done more than one segment on that. And I'm really, you know, I've seen it work. I've seen it not work. I'm really about design your life. Design your life and be in integrity with the person or people you're in relationship with. I do think there's a lot of hype right now to non-monogamy that everybody's going to get there. When that 1 in 9 number gets higher, people are going to be like, ooh, actually, I said this. I don't actually want this. But I'll still be making dates and mates and talking to you both. I'll still be here waiting with F the Fairy Tale when you're ready to examine that.
Yes. No, seriously. I think, and like you said, I think that's the biggest thing. It's like something we love to say on this show. Be FFR. Be fucking for real about what your intentions are. Like, if that's what you want to do, cool. But just tell the other person. Like, I feel like that's only fair. It's like the bar is on the floor. Like, that's the bare minimum of what you can do here.
That is really the key, is understandings and agreements. Like, I've talked about this on Dates and Mates before. Like, when you're moving in together, there's the relationship escalator, right? Mm-hmm. And okay, we match, it's cool, like we chat a little bit, we move offline, we get together in the real world, there's a connection, then we've been dating and now we're exclusive, and now the next step is we move in and then we're getting married. And we assume that the escalator is the same for everyone because stories. But we need to stop along each step, each floor. We need to stop and make sure that, wait, are we on the same escalator here? Because I've seen a lot of clients that are like, okay, I'll just move in with my partner because that's the next step on the escalator. And then they're like, this is a step towards marriage. The next floor is marriage, the marriage floor. And their partner was like, I love being on the escalator where I get to save half my money on rent. And right? And right. Then you get to the marriage floor and you're like, why aren't you getting off the escalator? And they're like, oh, I thought we were just riding the escalator. I didn't know we were going to the marriage floor. Oh, and that's when you say, you go sit in the corner while I do my marriage shopping. I'm just kidding. More stories.
No, seriously. No, that's it. That's literally it right there. It's like literally check in at every floor on the escalator, because things also change, I feel like, as you're in the relationship too.
They certainly do. And especially, you know, I've been doing this a long time, Alana, and I have seen a big shift in the last 4 years. I don't know if you remember what happened about 4 years ago in the predictability of people. They're a COVID.
I was about to say, we're a pandemic.
Pandemic.
I made it.
I've seen a huge shift in the way people even relate, and just the level of, it's like we got weird. People got weird in many ways. But what changed the most in my business is I used to be able to predictably tell, like, you say this, he's going to say that, you go here, you do that, and then you'll get this response and live happily ever after. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
Right. Leave me a good review. Starting about 3.5 years ago, I noticed that I would say, okay, you do this and he's going to do that. And then he would do something completely different. Like, okay, normally this is a place, like we've been dating 6 weeks. Normally this is a place where things start getting a little bit more serious and you have the exclusive talk or whatever. And then my client would be like, actually, he just said that he's going to move to Montana and live off the grid. And you're like, what? Like, I didn't even know that was one of the options. But people, I think we're just living with complete uncertainty for so long that it just, like, when faced with, we had also a lot of freedom in a weird way where it's like, oh, I'm working from home, or if I'm working remote, I don't have to go into the office. Or maybe I want to be closer to my family, or maybe I don't want to be close to my family because I have this blank slate that I get to write for myself. Mm-hmm. And if I have the blank slate, maybe some of these other things that I used to think I needed or I used to be in pursuit of are going away. And for some people, that was relationships. And for some people, it was just like, I literally don't know what I'm doing tomorrow, or they would just change course of their life on a whim. And that affected a lot of relationships, a lot of dating situations as well.
Yeah. And it makes sense. Like, in the grand scheme of things, because I mean, I felt like that in my own life, even outside of dating, like after the pandemic, it was like, there are so many options of things to choose from now. And you just don't know what's going to happen next. Like, I would not have predicted what my life ended up looking at, like, in the pandemic and then after the pandemic. Couldn't have written that one. That was a plot twist in itself. But being able to adapt, I think, is really important to that. And just, I've had to, like, me at me, it's okay. This change is going to happen and it's going to be really, really scary, but that is okay. We're going to work through this. We're going to be okay at the end of the day, though.
Yeah, we have to be willing to adapt. Which I think is what we've been talking about this whole time, that, you know, relationships are a tool for adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be willing to adapt. And then I just keep coming back to the present. We have to be able to stay in the present moment, because when we fixate on the past or the future, that's when we start to get out of alignment and into anxiety and into frustration and into F the fairy tale.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because when I had my breakup, that was immediate. Fuck this. I don't want to do this again. I don't want to date. Like, screw it. I'm just going to be single for, like, ever and ever. Amen. I'm not doing that again. And then I calmed down. And I was like, okay, we can do this again. But that's what I think I told Tamara this. I've told a lot of my friends. I was like, that is, like, the one thing I'm most upset at him about, is that I have to go through this whole dating thing all over again. These waters are already, like, just crazy, but it's going to be okay.
I'm going to just cut you off right there. You blessed.
No, but yeah.
A period. And it only gets better from here. I feel like breakups change you, and then you're like, because I'll tell you what, after being in a relationship with a F-boy, I mean, I'm checking in between, like, on escalator goes up an inch, I'm checking in, okay? Escalator goes up another inch. I'm having an argument. Like, what's happening next? I don't know. I'm not about to be here anymore. I'm ready to go. Like, you're just so much less, at least in my opinion, I feel like you're way less attached to the fairy tale, and you're just like, okay, this is real life. Like, I already saw what can go down if I let this happen again. And mm-hmm. I'm here for me and nobody else type of vibe.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the truth. Like, we need connection, right? That is, like, partnership, sex, all security. Like, all of these things are core primal needs.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't forever just say, well, I'm just not going to do it. I'm just going to. We can when we're healing, when we're in that space, and sometimes we need to. But eventually, you are going to need to talk to another human at some point, and You may feel like a sexual desire, and that's okay. But we have to be willing to let go of the story that was being told and know that through each of these experiences, you're not walking away empty, Alana. You're walking away with more insight, more tools, more knowledge. And just as Samra said, like the ability to see what direction it can go and to chart your path in a different direction if you don't want it to go there the next time.
Yeah. No, that's exactly it. Like to the T, that's like everything I learned. And it was funny because like when I was in the thick of it, I was like, I know these are the things that I would be telling my friend if they were going through the same thing, but I don't want to hear it right now. Like I just want to sulk in this moment of being mad and upset and sad, and I'll come out of it eventually. And then there were times where I was like, damn, am I going to come out of this? But then I did. So
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's something, especially on TikTok, because you know TikTok hears everything. So that's all I was seeing on my For You page. It's like it'll be okay. You'll get through it. And seeing all these people, there was one girl, I can't remember her at, but she was chronicalizing her breakup. It was like day 34 of breakup. Like this is how my day went today, and just like it was just also very relatable content because it was like, yes, this is a roller coaster of emotions. One day I'm perfectly fine. The next day, the one by Taylor Swift plays and I'm bawling my eyes out again.
Music does have a way of doing that. And it's interesting. I think there's those, we seek out that comfort from feeling like we're not alone through social media. And sometimes it confirms what we feel, and sometimes it like reinforces some of that negative thinking, and it's not going away. Obviously it's something that we have to learn to manage. Like the apps aren't going away, social media is not going away, sad songs aren't going away. I was interviewed for a New York Times article recently about like, are songs getting sadder and angrier? And I was like, no. And then they like did the research and presented me with the findings that confirmed songs are getting sadder and angrier.
Damn.
And we go to that for comfort sometimes when we've been through a breakthrough. But there's a certain point too where you're like, okay, maybe I don't want to feel that way. And I need to change the channel. I need to rewrite the story. You know, I need to pick a different track. And that will change your For You page for sure.
No, it absolutely will. Which, speaking of soundtracks and songs, I actually had a question for you. Okay. So obviously your book is the fresh take. And my thought is like the more modern take and more realistic take on dating nowadays. I mean, your book, your show, your whole like, what is the word? I want to say multiverse, but that's not the word.
Brand. But I was trying to.
Brand.
Yeah, but I liked multiverse. I'm going to.
We're sticking with multiverse. But okay, if you had to choose a soundtrack or a song for F the Fairy Tale, what song or soundtrack would you pick and why?
That's deep. Okay, there's this song. Just going to put it out here. I'm a Jason Mraz stan, like,
yes,
in a big way. Prior to Dancing with the Stars, I was like, oh, I always like to kind of be under the radar. And then when something that I like gets popular, I'm just like, oh,
yeah.
Then I was like, I was here first. I went on our third date. My husband and I went to a Jason Mraz concert.
Stop.
So, cred. And then I saw him six more times. And he has this song that is actually on his La 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 Love Songs compilation, Have It All. This song gets me every time because it's an anthem for not just like someone that you love, but like anyone that you care about. And it's really how I feel. Like I wrote this for my clients and my dates and mates listeners. And of course for the both of you, I wrote this because I want you to have it all. I want you to experience it all. I want you to not be discouraged by the stories that you've heard, I want you to feel empowered that you have a chance to always write it yourself. And I want you to have it all. So that song gives me all the feels. And, you know, thank you, Jason Mraz, for roller skating your way into my heart. Dude, when Usher roller skated.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, done. I am done. I think I literally laid out on the floor at that point. I blacked out. I just didn't even know what to do. Anyways, yeah, roller skating this is, and
yeah, and love and guitar. Usher. Yeah.
And Usher.
There's this TikTok.
I swear.
Good.
So I have a 13-year-old and I was driving carpool because that's how glamorous my life is. And they were like, I didn't understand the Usher. Not my daughter, of course, because she has brains. But they're like, I don't understand the Usher thing. I'm like, why did he like take his shirt off? And so I was like, you don't get it.
This is not for you.
That's literally what I said. That is literally what I said. I said, it is not for you.
Yeah, no.
Because he could not come on that stage and not take his shirt off. So you need to take your opinions, your Gen Z, Gen Alpha. I don't know what the intersection of that is. Take your opinions elsewhere. They're not welcome in my car.
I don't claim that. Bye. I won't claim that.
No. Yeah.
I did.
No, I knew.
Gotta be alpha.
I knew I did right with my sisters when they were like, oh my gosh, Usher was great. Usher was amazing. I was like, I did something right. And like, we talk about the Let It Burn, like crump. And I was like, y'all don't even get like the reference of that, but I'm glad that you're enjoying it and it's having this resurgence now. And oh my gosh, I love Usher. I'm going to see him in concert. I'm so excited.
Please roller skate, Usher, please.
Please. More
you know why
skating.
I love the roller skating? It is just pure joy. It is joy incarnate. Unless you are not good at roller skating and then it's pain.
I was going to say me.
But for me, it feels like joy. And this is also something I'm always encouraging my clients to do, is to find that joy, that sense of wonder, that magic we were talking about. Like, create it. I create it. My husband and I, literally, hilarious, we are going to a magic show tomorrow night because it sounded fun and whimsical. It's like a magic speakeasy thing. Ooh. I create it and he creates it. It's not just going to, the magic doesn't make itself unless you know where the speakeasy is.
And that's maybe where that work comes in, like that relationship, quote unquote work, you know? And I think that like the work you do unpacking your own shit in a relationship, that feels like work. Like, it's not necessarily fun. It's like, okay, journaling, like, okay, why am I acting so crazy this week? Like, what is it, you know? And that's like, now I have to look at myself. You know, that is kind of work. You know what I mean? So I get the whole work thing, but it's worth it. It's definitely worth it. Because magic is priceless.
Mm-hmm. Magic is priceless. Absolutely.
It is. And possible.
Impossible. Okay.
That another P. Makes me think, are you ever surprised by a love story? Like at this point in your 20-year career, 20-plus year career of helping people date and I mean, I feel like you must have seen so much, maybe everything, but are you ever like, oh, wow.
That worked?
Like, not everything, you know, something different happened.
Rarely am I surprised because I have seen it all. Occasionally, I have been wrong. Like, I had one friend who met this person, I want to say they met online. And this guy was living with his boyfriend, his ex-boyfriend. And he was like, all the signatures were there of like, this doesn't sound right. Like, he was like, oh, we're ending the relationship. And I'm just still living here. But then he would call at weird hours, like only be able to see him on the weekends and weird hours. And I was just like, this is a train wreck in motion. I can't see how this would work out. And they got married. They're still together. I was like, I called it wrong. I mean, It had all the signatures there where I thought this can't possibly work. But also, when people have a will to make it work, they will make it work.
And that's on Big P, period. Because that is something I scream from the rooftops, me, myself, and I. I'm like, like we were talking about earlier, it is a choice. And if you really want to make it work, you can make it work. Now, are there situations where you should absolutely run away, run to the hills, do not make that work? Yes. But I do feel like more often than not, there are those times where it's like, yes, this can be hard and it's going to be rough waters for a little while, maybe, but like it still can work. I think that's something else like in our generation and like social media and stuff like that, where it's like, if one thing happens and like sets you off, you're like, screw it. I'm gonna go get another one. I'm gonna go get another bag. Like, it don't matter. I can go get another one tomorrow. And it's like, some of us don't necessarily want to have to go through the work of getting another one tomorrow. Like, that's a lot of work.
Well, and what are you looking for? You know, a bird in hand is worth two in the bush. Like, okay, I'll just get another one. And it's like, even if you can just get another one, what have you lost? Mm-hmm. What are you giving up? Even just what kind of self-discovery have you missed out on when you just swipe to the next? And I say this from the point of view of like before my husband, I was like, miss thank you next. If I give it about 3 to 4 months, if you were not living up to expectations, if I didn't know where to bag at, you're gone. And I don't necessarily think that that was the healthiest way to date. However, it made it very clear. It did make it very clear when I met my husband and I realized, oh, this is totally different. This is totally different. Like 3 to 4 months, I want to lean in. I don't want to lean out. Mm-hmm. So we all have our process that, you know, we come to it at different times in different ways. But certainly this is why I say enough the fairy tale, like, let's stop looking for red flags. Let's focus on green flags, because we can always find a reason to say no. You can always find a reason to say no. Look for reasons to say yes.
That's tea. That's tea. That is really tea. And I feel like, again, that comes back to like what kind of we've gone through the last few years. I mean, all of the society in the world, where it's like so much bad happening around us, where it's like, then like, you know, we get to these relationships and dating and it's like, okay, what's bad here? Like picking it apart, or like, what's bad about this profile? Kind of like what you're saying. And like, okay, but also what's good? Like, that's a thing still. Like, it could still be good. And there's going to be that sprinkle of like, I don't like that. But I feel like also not everything that you don't like is not, I don't want to say fixable, because I don't want to say you're like fixing people, but like behaviors that can be, that are bad inherently, but that can be altered and changed, like with a conversation. Like, if somebody offends you and like maybe they didn't know they offended you, like, talk it out. Say, hey, this offended me, blah 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 blah, and then like their response will tell you everything you need to know about that person. So
right, but that's where the learning is. That's where the discovery is. And I even talk about that in the book, that conflict is really an opportunity. And there's different conflict styles, which I outline there via John Gottman and the Gottman Institute. Like, I didn't invent this stuff, but I do see it playing out in dating and relationships. And we all just need more tools. We need all the tools.
All the Mouska tools.
Mouska tools.
Oh my goodness. Well, Damona, obviously it has been a blast per usual. And I'm putting it out there now, making this like a yearly thing and not every few years or something. But before we go, a couple things that we always do at the end of the show. Can you tell us, like, looking towards the future and kind of like wrapping this whole conversation up, how do you see the narrative around dating and love evolving, especially for women in their 20s and 30s, which is kind of like where our audience is?
Ooh. I wish I could predictably tell.
Fortune teller.
If you asked me 5 years ago, I would say I definitely know where this is headed. I don't know. And I kind of love that. I think we are still reintegrating from the pandemic. And I've seen a big 180 of people who hadn't ever used dating apps before. Suddenly, like, dating apps were a lifeline during the pandemic. And now everybody's like, dating apps are trash. Okay. Okay. You'll be back. I get it. It's just a tool. Like, you can't swear off the whole internet. Like the people that go, I'm leaving Facebook. And I'm like, okay,
please. But
girl, you're still on Instagram. So what?
Yes. It's just a different monster.
Leaving Facebook. Okay. Okay.
Right.
Also, why you have to like announce it? Thank you. We could go on and on about that. But I really feel like there's just this pull to be in person. Again, I just did a series of articles with the LA Times about speed dating and the resurgence of speed dating. And everybody's like, okay, no dating apps anymore. I just want to meet people IRL. I want it to be natural. And speed dating is now the thing. Well, you got to get dressed. You got to put your makeup on. You got to get your hair did, lay your edges. Like, there's a lot that goes into showing up for a... This is not like showing up for a date that you know you have. This is showing up for a, this might turn into something. So I think we haven't really examined the emotional cost of that. And the true way forward is going to be a blend of in-person and digital. But we've just got to get better digital hygiene, know how to use these tools more effectively in a way that does less damage to our mental health. Because I do acknowledge that dating apps, texting, social media, it's doing a number on our mental health.
It's draining.
It's draining. And we don't have a container for it. But there, nobody wrote the rule book. I wrote some of the rules in F the Fairy Tale, but really like nobody wrote the rule book. And so we're all just figuring it out. And that's what I think is going to continue to happen is this reintegration process and people setting more boundaries and rules around how we communicate digitally and in person, because it cannot continue the way that it is right now.
Yeah, that's tea. Yeah, I was about to say, the girls are gonna be mad, but it's the truth. Like, it is what it is. Like, call a spade a spade.
It's true.
But thank you for all of your wealth of knowledge. And if you haven't bought F the Fairy Tale yet, I mean, after this episode, why didn't you pull out your phone in the middle of this and be like, let me find this book? But if you still haven't done it yet, that's okay. You got time. It's here. We'll have that information in the description of this episode and on all of the things. And again, Damona, thank you so much for being here and coming with us on this journey again.
Thank you for having me on the journey. I look forward to next year as well. And I'd love for everyone to know that F the Fairy Tale, it's also available in all of the formats, ebook, audiobook, and yes, hardcover. And I'm really, really proud of the audiobook, considering I'm a podcaster of 11 years. You've been listening to my voice now for the last hour, so you don't hate my voice.
That was
you might
my
like
next
the audio
question. Oh, I'm yeah. gonna. I love your voice, Damona. I am tuning in because I have not read the physical copy. This is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank you. Well, I look forward to hearing what
treat.
You think. Yeah, thank you. It's a treat to see you.
Yeah, no, seriously. It's a treat to like hear any author read their book, but knowing you and, I don't know, your tones, your inflections. I'm excited about this.
Thank you. I'm excited too. It was something that was really important to me. So I really want to hear your thoughts. And y'all leave your reviews because you know how books work.
Yes, yes. Leave your. I was literally just saying, I was like, I'm kind of like getting towards the middle of mine. And I was like, I need to be thinking about what I'm writing for my review because I have so many things to say. Like good things. I have so many things to say and screaming from the rooftops. Like, even if you don't read the book, hey, you listen to podcasts because you're listening to this podcast. So go and listen to Damona's podcast also, Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman, and hear her voice over there too and all of her wisdom and all of your guests. I love all the guests. Love the guests. Also, what's next on your TBR list? And are we also going to get an F the Fairy Tale part 2 in the future?
Ooh. Oh my gosh. This book took everything out of me. This is a 3-year
I was just thinking, what if
journey.
It was adapted into like a movie, like a short like season, you know, 4 episodes, 4 pillars, like each episode is like embodying the, you know, I don't know. Talk
from
to
your
Drew.
Lips to
That's
God's ears.
Saying.
Like, okay, if it happens, it happens. I'm open to anything, but I don't know that there's another dating book in my future. There may be a book on communication in my future. This is not an exclusive reveal or anything. This is just what I'm thinking about next.
I'm claiming it. This is an exclusive review, but continue. I mean, it's an exclusive reveal.
I did reveal, you know, this book here, I guess, 2 years ago. So that's next for me. I am like a quarter of the way through Glow in the Effin' Dark by Tara Schuster. And I am she and she is me. It is so great. It's like part memoir, part transformational tools. And it's funny and super well written. So I like have it on my nightstand. Of course, it's been very busy. Mom of two. So I've been reading it very slowly. But you know that feeling that you get when you're like, oh, I'm excited. I'm excited to get into it.
Yes, where you're like looking forward to going to bed to read your book. Yes.
That's right. That's where I am with that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And any upcoming projects besides books and all the things that you do, or, you know, anything you want to share with our readers and fans, and also where they can find you?
Nothing other than maybe a vacation in my future.
Deserved.
And yeah, I make lots of content on my Instagram at Damona Hoffman. I'm also on TikTok, but like, be nice. What is the step of millennial beyond geriatric? I am the catatonic.
Catatonic.
Millennial.
Oh my goodness.
And yeah, dates and mates. And of course, you can find me on the Drew Barrymore Show from time to time. But definitely, if you follow me on Instagram, you'll know when my episodes of Drew are airing.
Awesome. Period. Well, y'all heard it here first. Damona's going to come out with her communications book, and we were the first to hear about it once again. I'm just kidding, but kind of not really. But again, thank you for listening to this episode of She Well Read, y'all. We hope y'all have been enjoying these mini-sodes, especially these Black 365 mini-sodes, because... yeah, period. You know where you can find us at She Will Read everywhere. And until next time, I'm Alana.
And I'm Samra.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.